Bibles with you today. Let's raise those up high. This is our protection against the enemy. This is my Bible. It leads me and it feeds me. Amen. All right. I hope everyone's having a great week. I understand we got some great amount of rain, needed rain. I've been down in Odessa, Texas, and somebody asked me, what's down there? And I said, not much. And then I went up to Lubbock, Texas for a day, and they said, what's there? I said, the same, not much up there. So I've spent the week in Odessa, Texas. It was beautiful weather down there most of the time, but you guys got some much-needed rain. And they told me, don't go out at night there. Well, why not? Well, you get shot. So I thought, oh, Lordy. Great place to be once I get down there and I get all those warnings. But that's where I've been all week. It was a fantastic Sunday last week, wasn't it? Coming in here and just having to share that seat next to you with possibly a stranger, people we may not have seen in a while. But what a great feeling that is when we fill up the chairs in God's house. And you may have come in today and said, something's a little different. We have a little more rock in the back there, our sound booth. Spencer and his father spent the last couple weeks expanding that, broadening that, widening that for our growing ministry up there, and then putting in the rock. And just in case you may not know, you may be thinking, well, you're his dad. I'm Spencer's stepfather. And we're going to talk just briefly about that today when we talk about love. Okay, so I'm Spencer's stepdad. A lot of people said, I never knew that. Thank you, God, because that's exactly the way I want it. Okay, because he's my son to me, but he has a biological father that he loves very much. And they spent time together building that. So we appreciate that, Spencer, and your father, of course, doing that. But what a lot of work. And they're not done yet. They're not done yet. There's some more coming, and we appreciate that. If you would, turn in your Bible to Psalm 78. Normally, in my scripture reading, I say, don't turn now, just read it. But I want all of us to turn in our Bible to Psalm 78. And we're going to verse 27 through 39. And Jack, over 26 years, you've probably heard a lot of do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. I get a lot of conflicting information whenever I preach also. It's too long. It's not enough. Your scripture reading was long. It was too short. Can you recap what you said last week? That was so good. Don't recap. And it goes back and forth. But I just do what I do and hope you appreciate it. And just keep letting me know your thoughts, and I will take those under advisement, okay? But this is a little longer today than a normal scripture reading that I do. And it starts in verse 27 of Psalm 78. And it says, he also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings, so they ate and were well filled. For he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned away anger and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words, and may the word of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Today's message is, what now? What now? We celebrated the resurrection of Christ last week. And what now? I picked this particular scripture for a number of reasons. I think it ties closely with what we deal with day in and day out a lot of times is man, woman, flesh. And I think it reflects on how God is, regardless of how we are. The celebration is over. We talked a few weeks ago. Kobe had his birthday party here. We celebrated. Lots of gifts, lots of candy, lots of prizes, and a lot of fun. Now what? It's time to go home. It's time to clean up. It's time to take that stuff home. Now what? A lot of times we have celebrations. Now what? Two things that I thought when I read the scripture. Last week, we had that full sanctuary. We have guests, visitors, family, friends, neighbors. And it felt great. Now what? Easter's over. Now what? And then number two, I believe this scripture gives us a little glimpse of the answer to the question, now what? Let's look at what we just read, going back to verse 27. And it talks about 27 through the first part of verse 30. God will give us our own desires. Many times we think, hey, I've done this. God has allowed it. It must be right. Be careful, church. Be careful. Sometimes He allows us our own desires. The difference is Christ followers, we will choose to seek the will of God and not seek our own desires and then complain and suffer through the result of our desires or the consequences of our desires. Verse 31 goes on to say, God will send His wrath. Some of you may have experienced God's wrath before for decisions in your life. Some may not. Be assured God will send His wrath when He chooses. Verse 32 and 33, man still sinned and didn't believe. And therefore, the work that man did was futile. They were trying to get to Canaan, and He didn't let them get there. They continued day in and day out, but their work was futile. So God sent His wrath, then He made sure they weren't going to get what they wanted, and all their work was just busybody work. Verse 34 and 35, God's wrath got a little heavier, if you will. And it says, when He slew them, then they sought Him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. So it wasn't until the penalty started getting real severe that they said, oh, maybe that wrath is coming my way, and I should search Him earnestly. And spend a little extra effort looking for Him. Then they sought Him. And then when the heat was off, I haven't seen God slinging His wrath around. The heat's off. Okay, verse 36 and 37. Man's flesh came back, and they were not faithful. Any of this mimic some of our own lives and our own decisions and the things we go through? I've done it my way. Hey, must be right. God has allowed it. Oop, there's God's wrath. Oh, well, that wasn't too severe. I'll just keep on going down my path. Because that wasn't a big deal. A little hiccup in the road to my desires. Then God's wrath gets a little more severe. And we say, uh-oh. God's wrath is coming. I better get right with God. Let me go to church. Let me do the right things. Let me confess my sins. Ask for forgiveness. Maybe I'll have some people pray over me. Maybe I'll pray for myself. Okay, again, the heat's off. Let's just go back to the old ways. But in verse 38 and 39, but He, that's God, being full of compassion, not having compassion, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, forgave their sins. and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time. Many a time. He turned His anger away. Anybody remember that in their own life? Woo, many a time God could have come down and showed me His anger. But many were the times that He did not show me His anger. He turned away His anger and did not stir up all His wrath. And why? I thought this was interesting. Verse 39, for God remembered, and I was trying to picture, did God really forget? Or was it just brought to the forefront of His mind? For He remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Fast forward, turn to John chapter 20 if you would. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 20. And we fast forward. We're going to be picking up around verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21 is where we'll pick up. And we fast forward. Jesus had His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. A couple Sundays ago, Palm Sunday, they threw their coats to make the path straight and level for Him. Palm branches were thrown down and waved at Him. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Remember that? And then here we are a couple days later, those same people screaming, Hosanna! Are screaming, crucify Him! Again, think back in your own life. Have you ever done that? Those of us licensed drivers, Hosanna! Praise God! Amen! Hallelujah! Get out of the way! They did it. I had one hiccup in my road on the way back from Odessa, and I was immediately drawn to the little pastor sticker in my front windshield that I got when I was ordained. I thought, uh-oh! You think they saw it? Oh, it's from the outside. I can't block it. It happens. We do that. The goal, however, is to correct those things in our own life. They screamed, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Then they screamed, crucify Him. And then they nailed Him to a cross. They buried Him. And last week, as Christians, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. And when she got there, she saw that the stone was rolled away. And she thought, what now? And then Jesus appeared to her. And He said, go tell the disciples that you have seen Me. And God's Word said that she did that. Then the disciples were all in a house. And Jesus showed up. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. At the end of verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 20 says, when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent Me, I also send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus had risen and was now among them. Today, Jesus has risen and He is among us. When I was in when I was in Lubbock, I drove up to Lubbock and I heard a guy say, "Where is Jesus?" I haven't seen Him, and I just happened to be walking through the short little room they were in. I said, "I'm right here," and I kept on walking. And I certainly didn't mean that I was a perfect one. We all know different than that. But what I meant is, I am Jesus to other people. I am the reflection of Him. In me by the Holy Spirit, and out through me by the same. Jesus has risen and is among us. Amen. Verse 24 says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to Him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Anyone ever feel left out when something big happens? Imagine Thomas. "What do you mean? The risen Savior showed up and I was gone?" "So He said to them, 'Unless I see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into His side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then He said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to Him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen Me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Verse 30 says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Amen? What now? Believe in Him. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in Him. Two things. What now? Number one, believe. Believe in Him. It looks like the song we had read when God came down, gave out a little punishment, a little wrath, but they didn't believe. And it said in Psalm 78, "They did not believe in His wondrous works." They did not believe in His wondrous works. One of the goals that I thought that our church should strive for is to recognize God's wondrous works and meditate on them. They saw Him, but they did not believe. Thomas heard Jesus was among them, the other disciples, but did not believe until he saw it with his eyes. And I'm not saying nobody here is ever going to see Jesus in this life here on earth. But I'm thinking if you do and you tell us, "Hey, I saw Him," we'd probably say, "Yeah, not till I put my finger in the holes of His hand and in the hole in the side of Him." We'd probably be right there with Thomas. "Really? I don't think so. I don't think you saw Him. I need to see Him." And then the other part would say, "What do you mean He showed up and I was gone? The one Sunday I skipped church and He showed up?" It in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. You can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. But God, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. Last week is called Passion Week. And I thought, then that makes this week Compassion Week. And every week after this should be Compassion Week. I said two things when we asked the question, what now? Number one, believe. Number two, love. Love one another. There is so much to say about love. God's Word said God is love. It is His very nature. Just like fire is heat. It is the nature of fire. God is love. It is the nature of who God is and what God is. Compassion comes from a Greek word meaning having to do with your stomach hurting. One definition says this, a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering and lessen the hurt. Amen? This is a compassionate church. Most of you know, 2 weeks ago, right after I preached the Palm Sunday message, Cindy got a call. Her father died. My father-in-law, my wife's father. He'd been in the hospital 2 weeks. Came home Saturday night around 6:30 or 7. They set him up with hospice. We had plans for what we would do Monday and getting with the doctors. And by the time church was over and we made it to their house less than 10 minutes from here, he was gone. This is a compassionate church. And I am so proud of this church. And I am so thankful for this church. While he was in the hospital, some of you came to visit. You didn't know him. You'd never met him. Some of you brought him cookies, and thank you, they were delicious. Some came and prayed for him. Someone brought him a cross. After he had passed away, the beauty of this church really, really stood out. Thank you. Hallelujah. Indeed. This church showed up literally. There were prayers, cards, flowers, meals, household supplies, love, support, conversation. Conversation. You came by her mother's house. You came by our house. Several of you came to the memorial service for Cindy's father just to show support and compassion. We are so thankful and grateful. Cindy's mother is so thankful and grateful. Christ was preached to Cindy's mother and her family in a way that a Sunday sermon never could. And again, I believe that answers the second part of the question, what now? Love one another. Love one another. Be full of compassion as God in Psalm 78 was full of compassion, not just had some, but was full. God was full of compassion even while we were in sin. likewise, we should love each other, even though we are all in sin. I love Passion Week, but as I was doing my studies over the last several weeks, I loved even more Compassion Week. And I thought that should fill the rest of our year. Compassion for one another, love for one another, the type that takes away hurt, that lessens suffering for one another. I'm going to say it one more time. This is a compassionate church. And I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful. I'm proud. And I'm proud to be a part of this church. I love you. Let us pray. Almighty God, when life meets us face to face with results or consequences, either by your will or by our seeking our own desires, help remind us to seek your will. Help us to believe in you and to believe in your word. Lord, teach us to be compassionate people, having love for one another as you have loved us, even in the midst of sin. Help us lessen the suffering of others, lessen the hurt of others. God, keep us from falling in and out of faith. As we read from the psalmist, they believed, they called on you, but they lied with their lips and their tongue, and they did not desire to pursue you faithfully. Lord, draw us, your people, your sons and your daughters. Give us boldness to serve you and to serve one another. Lord, help remind us that love and family is not just in bloodlines, but is in the love that we give one another and the love we share and how we love one another. Lord, help guide and direct our words and our actions as we go out this week and face the world. Help us strengthen our convictions. Help us grow in the knowledge of your word. And help draw us closer to you in each and everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go in peace, serve the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.